amplifying your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios, welcome to the program. It is a pleasure to be sharing this time with you today. Boy, it's the end of the year. This is the last Armed American Radio broadcast before 2015 begins. It's hard to believe that we are now heading into, we are in the midst of, our sixth year together on Armed American Radio. That's crazy. And I want to welcome Sean to the program, my producer, my sidekick, my good friend down in Dallas, Texas, who makes all of this possible by working some very, very long hours down there at the Salem Radio Network. Sean, how are you, brother?
Very tired. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And you're tired because you work an awful lot. And this program wouldn't go off if it weren't for you, would it?
Yeah, they'll find somebody.
Yeah, they find somebody. Come on, don't sell yourself short here. The fact of the matter is you spend an awful lot of time working on Armed American Radio. You do things that you really, quite frankly, are not required to do, but you do it because you love the show. You love what the program stands for. And I think you enjoy, I know you have a lot of fun doing it because you and I talk, of course, a lot off air. So
yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely. Oh, I had to find the right mic.
You got the right mic. This one sounds better than the one you had before, just to let you know.
Okay.
But all of us thank you for everything that you do. You know, it's funny. I joke about this a lot, but everywhere I go, it doesn't matter what state I go to, what venue I'm in that state. It doesn't matter who I meet. I inevitably hear the following. Oh, man, it's really cool to meet you. I love the show. Is Sean going to be here? Everybody wants to meet Sean. And that says an awful lot about your efforts. It really does.
Well, thank you. It's funny because I also work, you know, in the network as well. It's funny when PDs call and I answer the phone and they're like, Shanto? Yeah, it's me.
You mean when one of our affiliate program directors
yes.
that will call the Salem Radio Network for an unrelated issue, they hear you and they know you from the program?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I run into a lot of them, and it's fun to run into fans
yes.
who know you. And you and I, we were at the Crossbreed Holster booth
mm-hmm.
at the National Rifle Association convention a couple years back
mm-hmm.
together. And just lines of people coming up and buying books and shaking hands and getting their pictures taken with us. It's quite humbling, and it's an awful lot of fun. It's, you know, those crowds are getting bigger every year, and I'm really looking forward to you being in Nashville this year in April for that NRA convention. Great time to get ready.
we'll see. I'm wanting to do that because, you know, I'm working on a script for a new film, a new documentary that's about
now,
the Second Amendment.
We'll make that happen because you need to get that word out. And also at the USCCA Concealed Carry Expo.
Yes.
Okay, we've got an amazing guest on the program, a man who has joined this program countless times, is I consider a good friend, and somebody who, if you have not read his books,
mm-hmm.
More Guns, Less Crime, among his other books, New York Times bestselling author and founder of the Crime Prevention Research Center, which you can view at crimepreventionresearchcenter.org.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's also a Fox News contributor and a columnist and does amazing work. And that's Dr. John Lott. John, welcome to the show. Always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for joining us on the holiday week.
Great to talk to you. Happy holidays.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you guys had a fantastic time. John, I'm going to start with this because it is year end. It's hard to believe that 2014 is already coming to a close. This is the last show of the year. What do you believe was or is the biggest story regarding our gun rights or just our rights in general in 2014? Can you pinpoint one thing and elaborate on it?
Well, I mean, the election was pretty big, I guess. The fact that you have Republican control of so many state legislatures, I think, predicts well that in a lot of states you're going to be having laws that are going to make it easier for people to be able to go and defend themselves. And, you know, that's a pretty important change. Federally, the fact that the Republicans control the Senate will hopefully, they'll prevent anything bad from happening. Maybe they'll be able to keep a few bad judges off the bench. But and if you end up having openings on the Supreme Court, maybe they'll be able to keep some bad things from happening there, too.
Yeah, I'm hopeful anyway. I believe what we've seen, I was referring to it, John, as institutional gun control at a federal level, meaning Congress. And I guess you can never say that something will or will not happen when it comes to Congress. But we're seeing the shift, this paradigm shift from the federal level now to the states, as you mentioned. We were talking with Alan Corwin in the previous hour about that, and I will elaborate on it again in the next hour as well. I think, and please correct me if you think I'm wrong, that one of the biggest stories of the year, aside from the election, of course, is what happened in Washington State with Initiative 594 and the shift of all of that money. And as Alan Corwin said, now the billionaires entering the fight and throwing significant dollars behind that fight now at the state level. What do you think?
Well, sure, I think that matters to some extent. But, you know, the media doesn't understand the issue very well. And unfortunately, I'm not sure our side was able to articulate the problems very well with these types of expanded background checks. We didn't really put together really any ads or arguments about how this was going to keep law-abiding citizens from being able to go and protect themselves and others. It didn't focus on the costs that are going to be imposed on those who want to go and obtain guns. My own belief is that the reason why these expanded background checks are pushed is just another way of making it more costly for citizens, law-abiding citizens, to get guns as a way to reduce gun ownership. But we have to address that. If you want to defeat those things, you have to go and explain those problems. As I saw it, about the only ads that were run were pretty much that the police were against it, which is fine, but you have to go and explain what the problems are, and I don't think we did that. But they're going to go and focus on other states. I guess Oregon and Arizona and Nevada are some of the states that they're going to be trying to put initiatives on the next time around. My own guess is that there's things that we could do at the federal level to take the steam out of these initiatives. One idea that I've had would be to put in the federal budget language that would say any state or locality that imposes a tax, a fee, or an unfunded mandate on people's ability to go and obtain a firearm would lose some other federal funding for something else. Those types of provisions are in many places in the budget. And I think if you had something like that in there, it would dramatically reduce the efforts to try to pass these types of laws, because, as I say, I believe a lot of the push for this is simply as a disguised way to increase the cost of people obtaining guns to own. I end up debating people on the other side. I've been in green rooms before TV shows and other shows talking to them. And I've tried to explain to them over time that, one way to go and overcome the opposition to these expanded background checks is to make it so that you're not imposing costs on people. In Washington State, even the gun control advocates were admitting that it could add $60 onto the price of somebody obtaining a gun. That's a real tax, effective tax on people. A lot of people, poor people, are going to be prevented from obtaining a gun for protection, people who need it a lot. Those types of conversations have convinced me over time that the main push isn't to try to have a background check. The main push is just to make it costly for people to have guns. And if you have an amendment like that to the federal budget and you took that, in a sense, penalty away from being imposed on people who want to obtain guns, I think you would make it so that they wouldn't be as interested as they are now in pushing those types of things. Look, if you really believe the claims that are being made about background checks, that
Right.
They would reduce crime. And I haven't seen any real evidence that indicates that they're true. But if you really believe it, it's a benefit that would supposedly accrue to the entire population, not just people who are buying guns. And if that's true, then everybody should be paying for that benefit, not just people who are buying guns. In fact, people who are buying guns should be the last people that you should want to tax. So it should be paid out of general revenue anyway.
What a great place to stop. Perfect timing. You're listening to John Lott. You can view his work at crimepreventionresearchcenter.org or just research crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org. We'll be right back with John Lott right after this.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit defendfamilynow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's KeltecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com.
Car Arms introduces the new addition to their double-action micro-compact pistol line, the CW380, with a 2.5-inch barrel, an overall length under 5 inches, and standing under 4 inches tall. The CW380 weighs just 10.2 ounces, making it the perfect choice for lawful concealed carry. The micro-compact CW380 allows rapid-fire follow-up shots with little recoil and retails for under $420. The new CW380 from Car Arms. Carry one today.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The United States Concealed Carry Association is excited to host its first ever Concealed Carry Expo May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. With a full schedule of seminars, demonstrations, and presentations from top firearm industry experts and trainers, you will meet top manufacturers and suppliers in the exhibit hall, shoot a variety of handguns at the live fire range, and be entertained at Saturday evening's fashion show. The USCCA Concealed Carry Expo May 8th through 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information and to plan your trip, visit ConcealedCarryExpo.com.
We'll be right back.
For more information and to join the conversation, please visit Armed American Radio on Facebook and armedamericanradio.com. And now, from the Crossbreed Holster Studios, here is Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the show. I'd like to introduce you to who it is, John, who John Lott really is. You hear him on this program, if you're a regular listener, all the time. You see him on Fox News, just recently, I believe most recently on Hannity, and dozens of other television shows and radio programs around the country. But John is the founder of the Crime Prevention Research Center, was founded by Dr. Lott, who is an economist and a world-recognized expert on guns and crime. Take a listen to this. Lott has held research or teaching positions at various academic institutions, including the University of Chicago, Yale University, the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania, the Business School, of course, Stanford University, and Rice University. Was the chief economist at the United States Sentencing Commission during 1988 and 89, and he is currently a Fox News columnist. He holds a PhD in economics from UCLA. He is a prolific author for both academic and popular publications. He has published over 100 articles in peer-reviewed academic journals and written 8 books, including More Guns, Less Crime, now in its 3rd edition, The Bias Against Guns, and Freedomnomics. John's most recent book is Dumbing Down the Courts, How Politics Keep the Smartest Judges Off the Bench. Nobel laureate Milton Friedman noted, quote, John Lott has few equals as a perceptive analyst of controversial public policy issues. He has been one of the most productive and cited economists in the world. During 1969 to 2000, he ranked 26th worldwide in terms of quality-adjusted total academic journal output, 4th in terms of total research output, and 86th in terms of citations. Among economics, business, and law professors, his research is currently the 25th most downloaded in the world. He is also a frequent writer of op-eds. You can follow everything Mr. Lott does at crimepreventionresearchcenter.org. And suffice to say, I think he knows a little bit more about what he's talking about than Shannon Watts. John, welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, crimepreventionresearchcenter.org. You're doing amazing work over there, and we need to just push people over there to read that and educate themselves. John, let's go into what's making a lot of news now. Of course, that's we're seeing this anti-police movement being fostered by a mainstream press and a number of our national leaders. I do not put Al Sharpton in that category, but from the president on down, Sharpton aside, the mayor of New York City. What are your thoughts on what's happening out there right now?
Well, I think it's really sad. I think the divisions that it's pushing in the country. But look, my own belief is that a lot of the claims that are being made are simply false. Look, if to me, the simplest way to look to see whether blacks trust police is to look to see how frequently they call up police when crimes occur. How frequently do they report violent crimes? And actually, blacks who are victims of violent crimes are more likely to report a violent crime to police than whites or Hispanics are. About 54% of the time that blacks are victims of violent crimes, they report the violent crime to police. In the case of whites, it's about 45%. If blacks really believed that the police were racist, that they didn't care about the victims, or that they were just going to arrest somebody else because they were black, not because they committed the crime, it seems hard for me to believe that they would be more likely than other groups in the population to report violent crime. You would think surely that they would be less, and yet the opposite's true. And so, you have... Obviously, you have criminals in every community, criminals who may not want the police to be very effective. So it's understandable why some people may not like the police. But given the high violent crime rates that you have in urban areas where blacks live, you have to imagine that they are sympathetic to the police, that just as... Charles Barkley recently said that if you didn't have the police, you'd have essentially a war zone in these poor, high crime areas. It's the victims who are protected by the police, and they trust them.
Well, America's race industry is working overtime right now. I mentioned Al Sharpton. It's not a leader of this country in any shape, way, or form. Although he does have his foot in the White House door, and does have the ear of a sitting U.S. president, which just astonishes me. But aside from that, that demographic that you just described, isn't that the demographic that needs a lower-priced handgun and access to a privately owned, maybe lower-priced handgun more than any than anybody else out there? The urban dweller, the urban black who is a victim or lives in a high-crime area, John, isn't that the very demographic that needs protection more than somebody else?
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, you and I have talked about that many times on the show, and you know, the irony is that Democrats who claim that they want to protect those types of individuals, they're the ones who push things like Saturday night special ban, mm-hmm. which basically are just a ban on inexpensive guns. They're the ones who push taxes and fees, as we were talking about earlier, on people being able to go and obtain guns. They're the ones who support legislation like in Maryland, where it literally costs several hundred dollars now to license and register a handgun, or in Washington, D.C., where it's equally expensive, or in Illinois, where it costs about $600 to go through the entire process of paying the fees and paying for the training costs that are there to be able to go and get a concealed handgun permit.
Wow.
Who's going to be able to go and get a permit when you have to pay $600? Not even the price of the gun, just the price of going and getting the license that's there. It's the most vulnerable people who are priced out of the option of being able to go and defend themselves. That's the cruel consequence of those types of rules.
Well, and as you mentioned in the previous segment, this is just more evidence of the fact that the ultimate goal of the quote-unquote universal background checks and what we're discussing right now here is more evidence of the fact that their ultimate goal is to just wipe out lawful gun ownership in the United States. John, quickly, there was an article, and I sent this to you, I don't know if you had seen it yet, by a woman by the name of Rebecca Lieber at The New Republic, titled, How Did the NYPD Killer Get His Hands on a Gun from Georgia? Because Our Laws Are Insane. And she goes on to cite leftist anti-gun organizations, the Brady Campaign, the Violence Policy Center, and on down the line, and Bloomberg and everybody else, about where quote-unquote crime guns come from, although this individual had already violated every federal law in the books. Now, I guess we're being told we're running out of time again. I'm not watching the clock. John, I apologize. Sean, thanks for giving me that note. About 30 seconds. Any thoughts on that from the New York killer?
The assumption is that somehow if this gun hadn't been sold at this shop in Georgia, this criminal would never have gotten the gun. The problem is that there's so many sources. Look, even in places where guns are banned or have been banned, like Chicago or Illinois, criminals were still getting a hold of guns there.
And including Australia, John.
The guns aren't banned there, but even in island nations, people want to go to our website at crimeresearch.org and just click on the More Guns, Less Crime tab. They'll see data across countries and over time there.
John, I appreciate you joining us on Armed American Radio. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I hate when the clock gets the best of us. Everybody, crimeresearch.org, and view all of John's incredible work. Back after this.
Yes, I told you on my last call. They're in my house. Where are you guys?
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit defendfamilynow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and lightweight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at waltherarms.com. Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, the Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says the Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
This segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, America's no-compromise gun lobby. Become a member today. Visit gunowners.org. Join them, folks. I did. Welcome back.
Welcome back, indeed. I could sit, and I want to apologize, first of all, to my affiliates around the country for running over. That was, it'd be easy for me to blame Sean down there in the control booth.
That was not his fault.
That was my fault. Nope. I just get so enthralled listening to John talk. I could just talk to him all day long and listen to the wisdom coming from him is just incredible. There's just not enough time in a short half hour with him on the program. So again, I apologize to the affiliates for going over and not paying attention to that clock. Mm-hmm. Sean, welcome back to the show. Always a pleasure to have you here, my friend. Can't blame you for that one.
You know, you have some board ops and some technical directors at radio stations pulling their hair out right now.
Yeah. That's why I apologize. That was my fault for not paying attention to that clock. I just got too wrapped up in our guest. John is an amazing man. Please visit him and read his work. CrimeResearch.org, Crime Prevention researchcenter.org. Easiest to get there at crimeresearch.org and read the incredible vast volume of work that he has done over the previous several decades.
Yeah, I've been following him for at least 10 years, if not longer.
Let me put it this way. Some mad mom sitting at a supposedly at a kitchen table who got really upset and started a Facebook page
can't go to battle with this man. You heard his credentials. It just literally runs circles around these boneheads. By the way, let's give Shannon Watts the Bonehead of the Week award this week. We haven't done that in a long time. Sure. Shannon Watts, for no particular reason other than the fact you're a bonehead. Bonehead of the Week. Well, you're on the Armed American Radio Network.
You know, I have a video posted of her absolutely making a fool of herself on national TV.
The lies that come from that camp are just absolutely atrocious. It's despicable. Let's go to our next guest. We're going to shift gears here and talk a little self-defense, personal self-defense, with my very good friend, Rob Pincus, famed trainer Rob Pincus, one of the best in the world. Rob, welcome to the show, brother. How are you?
Glad to be here, man. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. Hey, I am anyway. I can't speak for Shanto. He's a little bit upset at me for rolling over. We'll see if maybe he can make me not do that this next segment with you. But I like listening to you as much as I like listening to John.
I won't stop talking. I'll just run over and nobody will be to blame but me.
Well, that's okay. I'll place that blame on you and then I'll let you apologize to the affiliates when we come back.
I have something for that. You know what that is?
Tell me.
It is called Cut Your Mic.
Yeah, you can do
like
that. Feel free to do that. If that ever happens, just cut me right off.
See how that works? Yeah.
All right, listen. First of all, Rob, I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, but you have some really big news to tell all of your many, many, many thousands of Armed American Radio fans across the country, don't you, that might not follow you on social media yet?
I don't know. Next, you're talking about my personal life news.
Yes.
Probably. Yes. Yeah, so I have a baby on the way. Expect lots of personal defense for infants coming in 2015.
Right.
The new Mrs. Pincus and I are expecting in late June. So yeah, I think that kind of got out on social media a couple weeks ago. We put that information out, and it's the first time I've been on the show since we put that out. So yeah, right. I appreciate you helping me share that news. I assume that's big announcement. You meant that, and we have Omari Broussard joining the staff permanently at ICE Training Company now that he's retiring from the Navy. So both of those are big announcements, one professional and one personal, two big additions to the company team and the family team.
And Omari's one of the best in the business, just a super guy. I've had the honor of standing next to him and working some of the CCW expos, and just listening to him talk to people who approach him, man, you got the best in the business, and that's why ICI is so good at what it does, and that's why your training regimen just gets better and better every single year. Where can people find you on the web before we get started so that they can sign up for one of your combat-focused shooting classes?
ICTraining.us has all the information on the classes and the calendar. A lot of the 2015 courses are up. Almost all of my Personal Defense Network training tour dates are posted already, and we have stuff posted all the way out until the fall of 2015 with an expected break in the training schedule at the end of June and through July. We'll finish up the tour as we normally do, but don't expect too many courses from me during the third quarter of next year. But, of course, Omari and the rest of the combat-focused shooting instructors will be very busy.
Yeah, it's fantastic stuff. Visit ICE Training. Just Google Rob Pincus, combat focus shooting. You'll find everything you need to know. And I highly recommend that you take one of those classes. I have, and I'm looking forward to taking another one here, time permitting. It's going to be very busy. As you know, of course, beginning in January, you and I will be together at the SHOT Show and spend some time moving from booth to booth and meeting a lot of people and finding out all kinds of new stuff that we can tell listeners about in the upcoming year, Rob, right?
Yeah, it's always a great show. You know, we get to kind of reconnect with a lot of industry friends, and I'll be out at the media day. I assume you will be as well, out at the live fire range. I'll be out there with Winchester Ammunition. Personal Defense Network staff and I will be wandering the floor. I'll be based out of the SWAT magazine booth as normal. And days 1, 2, and 3, and midday, I'll be at the Gun Vault booth with Cannon Safe and the Gun Vault team as well. So some of the normal stuff, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of new stuff and exciting things to talk about as well. Maybe we'll get back together, have me on the show in the weeks afterwards. We can talk about some of the cool stuff that I saw and maybe some of the things I saw that I roll my eyes at every year. There's always one or two products I just don't understand, and they're fun to talk about.
They are fun to talk about, and it won't be in the weeks after. It'll probably be the week after, because that's when it's really fun to hit everything that we saw at the booth and let listeners know what it is that they can expect to see on their store shelves. Or like you said, maybe some of the things they'll see on their store shelves that they really shouldn't see on their store shelves. We're looking forward to that. So congratulations to you, and I'm glad everything's going great. Here's what I want to do with the remaining. Sean, how much time do we have in this segment?
About 3 minutes.
All right, we're going to go ahead and set this up for you, and we'll let you run with this, Rob. There is a news story making the rounds in many of the national news. It's been all over CNN, Fox, and everywhere else about a concealed carry permit holder down in Texas who witnessed a domestic violence act occurring on a crowded street, exited his vehicle, drew his handgun, and stopped that domestic violence act against the young woman in the vehicle and held the man at gunpoint until the police arrived. When the police did arrive, he immediately set the gun on the ground as instructed, raised his hands high above his head, got on his hands and knees, complied with law enforcement, at which point they discerned what was happening. He was let go. The perpetrator was nailed, booked, and charged. Rob, man, there's a lot going on with that, and it's something we've talked about a lot before here, and it starts with, should we even get involved?
Yeah, you know, it's a tough question. Whenever we talk about being a good Samaritan or being the sheepdog or even, you know, just being the ram that's part of the flock and but ready to you know, take issue with other rams that might get out of control inside of that flock, and that's exactly what we saw here. We saw a guy who isn't really, you know, he's not a sheepdog, he's not wearing the badge, he's not flashing red and blue lights. He's just a guy who saw someone acting out of line in a way that he interpreted as being violent, inappropriate, and something that needed to be acted against. It's hard to judge whether he made the right decision or not. The way this played out, I can tell you, having seen the video, some of the things he did from a if you're going to get involved standpoint, and I think that's where I have to start the conversation, because everyone's going to make that decision in the moment for themselves. Obviously, there are things in the world that I might see that would cause me to put myself at some risk, right, and take that action to stop someone else from being hurt. There's other things that I would see that I've heard of other people getting involved in where I shake my head and I say, wow, I can't believe that person got involved. A couple weeks ago when I was on the show, you also had George Zimmerman on. Look at all the things that happened to him because he saw someone he thought was suspicious walking through his neighborhood. He got involved, you know, and we all know the storyline that played out. On the other hand, this gentleman apparently saw a man beating a woman inside of a vehicle. He got involved, and the way he got involved, I think, is what we should be talking about, because that's where we can all learn the lessons. Is we're going to be caught in the moment. We're going to make that decision. If we make the decision to get involved, how can we best do it? What action should we take, shouldn't we take? And how do we handle what we would call the tactics of that involvement? And some of the things I think he did really, really well. There's some things I've seen on the video that I question. And maybe if people get a chance during this next break while they're listening to the information about the sponsors and the affiliates that are running the show, maybe they can also hit the internet, look for this information coming out of North Texas, where a Good Samaritan gunman stopped an assault in progress. They can look at the video, and we can talk about it in the next segment in more detail.
Perfect timing. We'll end it right there. When we come back, we'll see if he even gotten involved. Back right after this.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today. Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WaltherArms.com.
Crossbreed Holsters is proud to offer an addition to our already outstanding belt selection. Introducing the Instructor's Belt. Offering the same quality as our original gun belts and dress belts, the Crossbreed Instructor's Belt offers a clean, buckle-less design intended for a sharp and professional appearance. Sturdy, but not stiff. The Instructor Belt provides even weight distribution of your gun and gear and looks as great out on the town as it does on the range. Crossbreed Holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant. Often imitated, but never duplicated, the Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The United States Concealed Carry Association is excited to host its first ever Concealed Carry Expo May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. With a full schedule of seminars, demonstrations, and presentations from top firearm industry experts and trainers, you will meet top manufacturers and suppliers in the exhibit hall, shoot a variety of handguns at the live fire range, and be entertained at Saturday evening's fashion show. The USCCA Concealed Carry Expo May 8th through 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information and to plan your trip, visit ConcealedCarryExpo.com.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit defendfamilynow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
Welcome back to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I'm talking with fame trainer and good friend of mine, which means he's a good friend of yours, Rob Pincus. Rob, it's a pleasure. We're going to run out of time, so let's go right to it. Good Samaritan. I talked about this in the first hour of the program, and I've got to read this headline. Listen to what this says. Good Samaritan gunman stops assault in progress. Good Samaritan gunman. Don't we normally hear that the gunman entered the school or the gunman opened fire in the mall, Rob, so the negative connotation of gunman? The media just can't help themselves. But I digress. We'll move on from here. Rob, what had happened here was a, and I'm quoting from this column now, from CBSDallasFortWorth.com, a North Texas man is being heralded as a hero after police said he held a man at gunpoint who was assaulting a woman. Witnesses reported seeing a man standing in the middle of the street pointing a gun straight at the passenger of a red vehicle with the door open. To those driving by, this could have been an entirely different scenario, couldn't it, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at the perspective from the witness camera that was filmed, I guess it was like a cell phone camera that made the video that they're showing on this website, the CBS local affiliate. And the guy, the good guy in this case, is standing in the middle of the street. I guess that's in front of his car, which he stopped in the middle of a four-lane, looks like a busy kind of city intersection area. And he's pointing a gun. And when the video starts, he's pointing it at full extension, both hands on the gun, at a parked red car, what looks like a parked red car on the opposite side of the street. And then the door is open on that car, and then later in the video, you actually see a man standing next to that open door with his hands sort of outstretched to the side. And you also see the good guy do something really interesting, which is a big, big deal that we recommend to people all the time in public spaces, and just for a whole bunch of ergonomic and coordination reasons, is not having the gun out at extension unless you are in the process of shooting. But when you're in your ready position, when this guy apparently is holding this guy, telling him to stop hitting the woman, telling him to stay where he is, whatever he's doing, he pulls the gun back into his chest so that his elbows are at his side and the gun is no longer extended. Well, if you get a chance to look at this video and you look at the first time you see this guy with the gun fully extended, and then you look at later in the video when he pulls the gun back to his chest, this is a huge tactical issue that everyone should learn from. Which of those two images looks like a potential bad guy? Which of those two images is more likely to get shot by somebody, the next person who thinks they're being the Good Samaritan, or even the police when they respond? Which person looks more threatening? Obviously, the person with the gun extended, waving it around, pointing at another person versus pulling it back in into a position where he can quickly extend it back into a shooting position, keep control of it if someone gets close to him, things like that. He's in a much better position when the gun's pulled in, and he can still respond and defend himself very quickly. Obviously, he didn't feel that the person in the car was an immediate threat to him based on distance and the lack of a weapon, we can assume. So it was a great idea for him to pull the gun back into his chest. Why he's standing in the middle of the street, why he isn't standing on the other side of his car, we can only guess. You know, the best guess is he probably needed to get this guy's attention so that he could intervene and get him to stop hitting the woman, so he had to expose himself. And that's really what we're talking about, is it worth exposing yourself? Is it worth being the person that the next Good Samaritan thinks is the bad guy, or the worst-case scenario, the police think is the bad guy, in order to help the person who's being beat? Now, it's real easy for us to all say on the internet and on the radio and sitting in a bar or sitting in a gun shop, absolutely, he did the right thing, he's a hero. But in the heat of the moment, one mistake in judgment, one mistake in tactics, one mistake in execution could literally get you killed or have you in the middle of a situation that you just don't understand what you're getting into.
All right. I have used this example on the program many times before from personal experience. I have been at a gas pump when a domestic dispute, which appeared had the at least had the possibility of turning violent, broke out on the opposite side of the pump next to me. I leave when I'm armed, and my Rob, I believe you've given the advice yourself on this show. Be the best witness you can be. Do not intervene at that moment in time. Go ahead and pull away at some distance. Pick up the phone, dial 911. That's prudent, sound advice. Now, I don't know, and we don't know what he witnessed going on in that vehicle. We only know what we read, and Lord knows that's all over the board. So we only have the video that we see. We don't know what he physically saw from his angle. Should he, in your estimation, have even gotten involved to begin with? Just the generic question, or should he try to be? Or what advice would you give to somebody else who witnesses something like that?
And that's the hard part, is I can't give that advice. I promise you there are things that I could see happening inside of a vehicle that would absolutely prompt me to take action. There are other things I would see in a vehicle that might prompt me to do just as you did, which is back off or stay away and make a phone call to the police and stay there and let them figure it out. There's other things I might see and just walk away from and say, you know, no big deal, not my problem. You know, I'll get two guys pushing each other in the parking lot of a bar, arguing over who saw a woman first or something. Not my business, not my problem. I might tell the bar manager if I'm going in. If I'm on my way out, I'm probably just driving away. On the other hand, but what you saw, a potential domestic assault, we would presume a man verbally abusing a woman, maybe grabbing her, something like that. I may not get physically involved, but I certainly am going to want to make sure the authorities get involved. On the other hand, maybe what this guy saw was a violent physical act, a repeated beating of someone who was unable to defend himself, unable to get away. Well, that's the kind of thing that's going to prompt many of us, man, woman, whatever, to want to get more directly involved. Getting involved without exposing ourselves to danger, without causing a bigger problem for the person who's already a victim. You know, for example, we know from the angles of the cars parked there, if what I'm reading is right, that the driver of the red car was hitting the passenger of the red car, right. Well, the good guy is pointing the gun from the driver's side at the attacker, presumably with the good guy, the victim, the woman, behind the line of fire. Maybe. We don't, because we're watching this video, right? Well, that's certainly something we want to consider, is how do we get into a position where we could feasibly protect someone from potential violent, maybe lethal violent action, depending on how severe the beating is or if a weapon's involved, without actually posing a lethal threat to them as well. If we're with our family in the public space, you know, if this happens a year from now and I'm carrying around my 6-month-old, I'm not exposing my 6-month-old to potential danger to save a stranger in all likelihood, right? In that case, I'm probably just going to be a witness regardless of how severe the beating is. So there's so many variables. It's really hard to say should. I think it's good that we have people and we have the mindset in our country that these things can't go ignored. These kinds of things.
That we have people, of course, that are willing to get involved.
Right. How we get involved is really going to be an individual judgment call. And I think there are so many variables. It's not for me, certainly, to say what is right or wrong. My job as the personal defense instructor, the safety security guy, is to tell someone whether how they did it seems to make sense to me, and then for the rest of us to say, okay, knowing what we know, how would we do it if we got into this situation tomorrow? And I would say a lot of the things this guy seems to have done right, I don't know why he was still exposed. Even if he got this guy's attention, got him to stop and needed to expose himself, it seems like he could have gotten into a better position of cover, and if nothing else, a position where fewer people would have perceived him as the potential aggressor or bad guy if he could have. And that's the lesson maybe we can learn from this. We always say, you know, in our book, Lessons from Unarmed America, we talk about Monday morning quarterbacking, and what did someone do that we wouldn't want to repeat that because it could get us into more danger than we need to be in. And that would be one thing I see in this video. You know, as you
all right, Rob, I need to stop you right there, brother. We've run out of time again, but the timing was good. The conversation was fantastic. The bottom line is, hindsight being high definition, as it always is, this man is a hero, wound up doing the right thing. That's a decision, a snap judgment that you're going to have to make. So make sure you know what's going on to the best of your abilities, or just be the best witness you can be. The great Rob Pincus, ICE Training. Take one of his courses. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom here on the Armed American Radio Network. When we come back, David Kodria gives expert analysis and picks his top stories for the year, and we get insight from George the Mad Ogre Hill. Carry on, carry off, and carry absolutely everywhere. We'll be back right after this.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby, like a dog in you. Tell us me by the clamor now, baby.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit defendfamilynow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.